The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
What we're going to be talking about for the next 5 weeks, in some ways, the solo, by these things that we talk about alone. The first week is, by grace alone we have been saved. For it is grace by you, by which you have been saved, not by any works of your own. Can you read that with me, please? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. When I was younger, one of my favorite things to do was to go to my grandparents' store. My grandpa was a butcher, but in the front they had a convenience store. And each time we were able to leave, we got to go in and choose one piece of, I call it candy, one lolly. Yes? We got to choose one lolly from whatever we wanted. So the three of us would rush down the street, tear open the door, and go pick. And one of my favorite things to get when I was younger was called a Pez dispenser. Do you like Pez dispensers? Oh, so yummy. Just pure sugar injected into your body. So it's almost like you load it with this little sugar pellets, and then when you want the Pez, then you push on the head of whatever it is, and a little piece comes shooting out the mouth, and that's a Pez dispenser. In some ways, I think most Christians view that's a grace dispenser. When I'm feeling like I sinned a little bit, or a lot of it in some ways, I've got my grace dispenser on my side. I'll just pop the head. I'll take a little bit of grace out. I'm all good. That, my friends, is not the grace Paul is talking about. And I think some people mix up the idea of grace and forgiveness, that they're somehow synonymous. But grace is much deeper, isn't it, than simple forgiveness. Not that forgiveness is ever simple. Paul is one of the most amazing people when he talks about what grace is. He's in our Acts lesson today, in Acts 20. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's reminding the people in the community, and he's reminding his disciples exactly what is important. In some ways, he's writing his last will and testament. His last will and testament, which has to do with this grace. He says this in Acts 20, 32. He says, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up." This grace. Not a grace dispenser, but this grace. He knows that ultimately, on this race and this journey, the one that he's about to finish up, that this roller coaster of life for him is nearing an end. But he wants to do the most important thing, to share with all the people that it is by grace alone that we have been saved. He wants to break those chains of how people have put grace into a box. He wants to unfetter it. But what is this grace? What are we really talking about when we say God's grace is freely given to his people? Do we think about how much we've boxed it up into our 21st century understanding of God loves you and it doesn't matter at all what you do? It doesn't matter. You just do whatever you want and then pop that grace dispenser into your mouth. Is that where we've come to? We have a great picture of how Jesus encounters grace, specifically with this woman who has been brought before them, before him. There's the leaders and the Pharisees. They bring this woman and they say, "This woman has been caught in adultery." And they bring her before her feet and they say, "What should we do about it? What's the penalty for being caught in adultery in those days?" It's stoning, right? So he's brought before and they say, "Jesus, what do you say?" Doesn't say a word. He bends down and he starts for the first time to write. We don't get any other ideas of Jesus writing anywhere. I wish we could actually see Jesus' handwriting. I think that'd be a great thing. He writes in the sand, this impermanent writing material. He writes in the sand, and we're not told what he writes, but the people who are there, the Pharisees, the leaders, they see it, and perhaps At this point, they're convicted about their own sin. Their own sins that probably could cause them to have stones thrown at them. And it says, the oldest left first, and then the youngest. The oldest ones know that perhaps there's a little bit more on their sandy plate. And then the young ones. And it's only left the two of them there. Jesus and the woman they pointed their finger at. And Jesus asked the question, who is left to condemn you? Is there anyone else left to condemn you? Do you remember what her words are? No one. What does Jesus say next? I always remember the words, go and sin no more. And that's what a normal Christian probably would do. We'd get to that law part first. You know what? Jesus has done this and sent everyone else away. And then we think, he points his finger at her and says, don't sin anymore. As if somehow by our works we can stop. That's not the first word he says. The first word he says is, neither do I condemn you. Grace first. Grace first. And then comes this beautiful picture about how to keep yourself safe in God's law and commandments. Grace doesn't erase the consequences of sin. I think you know that, but I'm going to let you know again. Grace does not erase the consequences of sin. But grace, the word of grace comes first from Jesus' mouth, and then he says, go and sin no more. Stay within the boundaries of the fence. But we live in a world probably that errs too much on this side of Jesus forgives you, now do whatever you want. What would this woman's life really have been changed if Jesus would have said, neither do I condemn you, keep up the good work? No. Neither do I condemn you, do whatever you feel like. No. This woman's life is changed because Jesus finds that place of grace first and then helping her to live within those boundaries. But in the society that we have today, sometimes we get to this place where we live in this cheap grace that Bonhoeffer talks about. He says cheap grace is a grace that we bestow on ourselves. We give it to ourselves, the Pez dispenser. Cheap grace is preaching of forgiveness without repentance. I forgive you whether you decide you've done anything wrong or not. It's baptism without church discipline. That's like just taking a bath. Communion without confession. Coming to the Lord's table and simply receiving God's great good and great gift without actually understanding what it's all about. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ. That's the world we live in. And now it's time to break those chains of thinking about grace that way. Unfettered grace is the death of ourselves, the death of our ego to understand and receive God's grace and forgiveness. Unfettered grace is the death of our earthly life to experience the beauty of God's grace in the discipline in our spiritual life. Unfettered grace is the death of our sins to receive God's grace in communion. And lastly, unfettered grace is recognizing Christ's death on the cross. It is the death of our past to experience the light of God's grace in our present and future. Today in our gospel lesson in Luke 7, we have this visual here. Does anyone know what this is? What is it? Sorry, it's your accent. What? Tea chest. That's right. We're looking at the chest. Anyone else know what this piece is? Yes, it's a bier. It's a bier. Sometimes for wounded, sometimes you'll see it on the battlefield. But this specifically, we saw it in our New Testament, in our gospel lesson. A bier is used to carry a corpse, a dead body, from the place of the body is wrapped to the place where it is to be buried. You'll notice in our New Testament, in our gospel lesson, that the body of a young man is placed upon the bier and is carried through town, and a whole crowd is following because they know that this woman has lost her son. She's a widow already. And in those days, if you didn't have your husband, if you didn't have any sons, you were destined for a life of destitution. They were weeping not just for her past or for her loss, but they're weeping for her future. In our gospel lesson, what did the woman do to receive God's grace? Nothing. That's the beauty of this story. She did nothing. She wasn't even asking for it. She wasn't expecting it. She did nothing. The young man did nothing. And yet God's grace comes to her. And you'll notice from those words, it says Jesus felt compassion for her. And the words he says is, don't cry. But in my mind, when I think of those words, don't cry, what is that woman thinking? That's bogus. In the first service, we tried to think of an Australian colloquialism for that. Some of them we won't mention. How could she think that? Her son's dead, lying on the bier. Everything about her present and future is gone. And this guy says, don't cry? How many times does that happen in our lives when we are at the very pit and wallowing in despair? And someone comes along and says, don't cry, don't worry, time heals all wounds. That person is in a better place. That frustrates me beyond belief. Because I want that person and I want that future right here, right now. Why is there still death? Because without death, grace is meaningless. Did you know that? Without a death, grace is meaningless. It's only in death that Christ can put his hands upon the bier of our lives and say, get up, young people. And it doesn't have to do with age. Get up, young people. Because Christ's true grace rests upon you today. From the bier of your death, from you being carried to a place where it feels like it's the end, Christ calls to you and raises you up by saying, get up, young people. When Christ wakes us from death, we are truly allowed to live. And it is from that new life that we are allowed to live our lives in a way that doesn't keep us separated from who God is in our lives. That grace, that unfettered grace, allows us to live and to serve. Because each day is a death. Each day is the death of yesterday. And we place that on the bier with the full promise of God's faithfulness in the present and in the future. And in living in God's unfettered grace, full of his love in the boundaries of discipleship, we are free to be graceful people in this world. You are free to be graceful people in this world. Do you feel graceful today? You can believe that God's grace fills you today. Today, as you notice, this bier has been placed up here for a reason. And of course, we didn't bring in a coffin, because that might be a little too confronting, but our chest here is going to replace what we think of as a coffin. Today, those little pieces of paper that you had, if you want to write or even if you want to impress those things that are keeping you from encountering what God's grace is in your life, his true and beautiful understanding of grace that allows us to live free, you can write those or impress those. Then during the next song, you are free to come place those in our chest, and it's going to be taken away. If you don't feel like climbing the stairs, which is fine, there will be some people here to gather and they can bring them up for you. But this is an opportunity for you to reflect on what God's grace is in your life. How God's grace in Jesus Christ and the cross and his resurrection has come to you today. Amen.